I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and in brackets for queens, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Different, and we learn in different ways. So there are three options you have now to decide how you're going to spend your next 20 minutes, okay? So, first of all, if you're into craft, if that's your thing, there is a craft activity over in the parish hall, and the lovely Claire Ball will be leading you across to there, okay? So if that's your thing, please follow Claire across to the parish hall. We also have sort of interactive, multi-sensory prayer stations around the church garden, and there's one in the prayer room. So if that's more like you, if that's more how you would like to come into the intimacy of God, then please, Emma will take you out to the church garden. If you go out the back, and she'll just explain where those prayer stations are. You can spend 20 minutes in one prayer station, or you could spend 3 minutes in each prayer station. There's seven stations that you could go along to. And then Jo will be staying in here and sharing spoken word. He'll be sort of teaching us how to pray the national anthem, I believe. Okay, so we have 20 minutes. So it says 5:05 there. So if you could be back in church for 2:15.
Quarter past.
And just checking you're still awake, that's great. 2:15, and we'll maybe have a chance to give a little bit of feedback, okay? So make your decision and off you go.
It's a way of doing all-age worship and having multi-options as well as multi-sensory things. And this opportunity we have until 2:15 will involve me speaking a little bit, but also towards the end I'm going to invite you to participate as well in a simple way of perhaps writing a simple prayer for the Queen that we can use just a little bit later in our worship. So just to warn you about that. So if you want to leave now, second chance, that's fine. But nobody's going to compel you to do anything. Let's begin with a 1 minute summary of Her Majesty's life. Here she is, looking radiant. And there are lots of clips on YouTube and things that you can see, but this is one that I thought summed up things really well. Thank you, Helen. And she said, very grateful to you for your prayers and to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, you are a God of all faithfulness. You are the God whose love is steadfast. And we thank you that we, each of us, as your children, can rejoice in those truths and know your faithfulness and love every day of our lives. Help us, Father, now to appreciate something more of what that means for us and for Her Majesty and the people that she serves. Amen. Those words that were quoted there about prayer are in the foreword to this booklet, which you all have, and please do take them. Don't leave them here. They're not going to be very relevant in the coming weeks, Please take them home. If you have got one yourself, give it to somebody else who you might think would be who might like it. The queen, the servant queen, and the king she serves. And in that foreword, she says these words: "The world has changed remarkably in the last 90 years. We have witnessed great triumphs and terrible tragedies. In my first Christmas broadcast in 1952, I asked the people of the Commonwealth and the Empire to pray for me as I prepared to dedicate myself to their service at my coronation. As I enter my 91st year, I remain eternally grateful for those prayers and to God for his steadfast love. I have seen his faithfulness to me as I have sought to serve." There are many ways in which this queen has expressed her faith in the God for whom she puts her trust. She says, "I know just how much I rely on faith to guide me through the good times and the bad." And that's why she's so wise and humble in asking the people of the Commonwealth to pray for her. And it's absolutely right that we do. As we heard from the letter of Paul to Timothy, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And we pray for our Queen every time we sing the national anthem, don't we? "God save, Lord, save our gracious Queen. Long live our noble Queen. God save the Queen," we repeat it again. "Send her victorious, Lord. Make her happy and glorious so that she's long to reign over us. Lord, God save the Queen." That word, that phrase, that cry repeated three times in that very opening verse of the national anthem. And the reason why those words are so central to it is taken from that very idea expressed by St. Paul. God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. All people, including those in positions of authority and sovereignty over us in this world. And as we pray for our monarch, we are praying that she might know the truth, that she might know that life in all its fullness is found in Jesus Christ. We are praying that as she comes to be saved and a knowledge of the truth, that she might know that life in all its fullness is found in Jesus, that the model for living the life is found in Jesus, and the power for living the life is found in Jesus Christ. And we're praying that that knowledge may be hers and that faith may be hers. So as a person who has huge influence in this nation and in the Commonwealth, the impact on the life of the nation may be good. This is good and pleases God our Saviour. And I think we can say without a doubt that her influence and her example has been unreservedly good. It's not something that we immediately realise when we are singing the national anthem. It hadn't really dawned on me. I was like most of the England supporters, waving their flags and the Euros. How much are they aware, I wonder, of that they're singing a prayer for the Queen? What is this prayer asking God to do then? Well, let's take a moment to recognise that, first of all, this prayer has its roots in Scripture. The phrase, "God save the King," as it was originally, is ancient. It comes from the ancient texts, from the first book of Kings, chapter 1, and in verses 38 to 40. Zadok the priest is described at the coronation, as it were, the consecration of King Solomon, when he's anointing Solomon to succeed Solomon's father, King David. And we read, quoting the King James Bible, "And all the people rejoiced and said, 'God save the king! Long live the king! May the king live forever. Amen.'" That's that wonderful anthem, isn't it, Zadok the priest? "God save the king. Long live." It's just right there. And it's going back to the temple worship of Solomon. And those words have been sung at every coronation since that of King Edgar in 973. So these words are familiar, and maybe over-familiar, that they just trip off the tongue without us really thinking about what we're praying or saying or singing as a prayer. Let's look at them for a moment. Save, God save the Queen. That word "save" is a hugely rich word, isn't it? It's about the prayer that God would give new life, wholeness, healing, fullness, salvation, becoming all that God would have her become, being blessed beyond, as they say sometimes in Wales. It's a prayer that she might be saved from a life without knowing God's everlasting love, and saved for a life that is lived in the knowledge of that love, leading her and guiding her in the decisions that she makes, in the wisdom that she offers, in the listening to the prime ministers and those that she served under through her long, long reign. It is the basis for her serving and her selfless actions that she is saved. The Bible talks about salvation in three different tenses. It talks about us having been saved, talks about us being saved, and it says we shall be saved. It's a word that encompasses the past, present, and future. It is so huge that this is a prayer that requires all our faith, that it's a prayer that has been echoed and answered in wonderful ways. And the Queen often speaks about her knowledge of God's everlasting love and as Christ's example as the basis of her living. That's why she is described as the servant queen, but also as the one who serves the king. This is such a priority for her, her faith, that she makes it an absolute given that wherever she is, whether she's on holiday or whether she's at work in London or wherever, she gathers with God's people in church, in chapel, every single Sunday of her life. Every single Sunday. Is there anyone busier than the Queen? She still works 40 hours a week at the age of 90. She has so many different commitments all over the world, and yet there she is, every Sunday, coming before God, giving God the praise and thanks for the love that he has for her, and receiving the inner spirit, the inner strength to serve others with God's love, so that she might live out of the overflow of the love with which she herself has been loved. And this is what God wants, says Paul to Timothy. This is what God wants for all people. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? He has demonstrated how much he wants that to happen by coming himself to be our Savior in Jesus, Hebrew Yeshua, God to our salvation, that's what it means, God to the rescue. God is our salvation. And he's made it possible for us to be saved and to have that hope of being saved fully through death. And so we pray three times in that simple verse, God save the Queen, God save the Queen, God save the Queen. Long live our noble Queen. We pray for long life, which, as it was originally intended, and that was prayed for Solomon, of course, it was much more the theology of those days that God's blessing was seen very tangibly in somebody living a long time. That isn't seen quite as in the same way these days. But certainly it was a major mark of God's blessing and his favor upon them. And it has certainly been true, hasn't it, that God has blessed the Queen with long life and with relatively good health. Amazing. Send her victorious. Well, the Queen has faced some real battles in her life. In wartime Britain, where she served in the Women's Land Army, and also in the battles in her personal life and that of her family. We noted that she said, "We have witnessed great triumphs and terrible tragedies." And that prayer that God would give us the inner strength to find victory, even in the face of tragedy, in that annus horribilis, she was still able to hold on to hope and the victory that Christ had won over all that seeks to destroy and mar life. And in so many ways, we've seen the joy that shines through that picture that we saw earlier of the Queen's radiant face, happy and glorious, long to reign over us. We have seen those gifts to the Queen. The wonderful shining with God's love face, I think. So powerful. She's reigned longer than any previous monarch, 63 years. God save the Queen. It's a great prayer. Many prayers have been written that have been based on that truth and that hope and that longing. But we want to make our own prayer today. And in a moment, what I'd like you to do is just to turn to the people near you, or just move if you want to somebody, just twos or threes, and use the red, white, or blue paper card that you have and a pencil that's near you, I hope, just to think about a simple prayer that maybe begins, God save our gracious Queen. And I'll put on the text now, Helen will just put the text of that verse on, to think about petitions, intercessions, that's about asking for or asking that, both for her personally and the influence that she has, that they may bring blessing, the hope and love of what is good and true. Maybe it's a prayer that includes thanksgiving for her, for the example she's given and the inspiration that she is and the fruit that has come from her life. That we, says St. Paul, might live peaceable, quiet and godly lives in holiness. So maybe some of those things can be included in your prayers. Very simple prayer. And what I'd like to be able to do is to ask those of you who would like to, two or three of us, to come forward at the time when we have our intercessions very shortly, just to pray them on behalf of us as a church. So please do just go ahead now, and Lord, we pray that you might give us your inspiration as we write these simple prayers to you. Amen. So just
may the Queen's faithfulness be transferred most powerfully to her successors, and for our country and church to continue to receive your blessing and its people be transformed by your love. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for our servant Queen, for her witness and strong faith in you. We ask that she will have the strength to continue to speak of her faith to the end of her days on earth. And when she comes to be with you in glory, she will hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen.
Praise God for your servant Queen Elizabeth II's faithful, selfless, long service to you and to her people. We pray for her continued good health and stamina to continue in her excellent role model in her faith and duty. God save the Queen. God save the Queen.